But as we get started and get a chance to go online to the World Wide Web right now with Facebook, we always like to present the gospel and just give you guys that insight again. I know most of you wouldn't probably be here tonight if you didn't have interest in Jesus and the Word of God, fellowship, worship, the power of the Holy Spirit. Something has got your heart stirred to the point that you're coming into a ministry. And so for people that tune in online, just to give you that hope for a future, okay, and oftentimes we're wondering what our purpose is in life, you know, what is God, you know, what is life about? And I tell you, God has a purpose and a plan. His word literally says that he knows the plan that he has for you, and it's a good one, okay? And so the only way that you will ever find that purpose is by talking to the one who created that plan for you, okay? And that's by talking to God. And so that's just the gospel in a nutshell. If we want to open ourselves up to God, we want to understand what life is about, we have to seek it from the one who gave that inspiration, the one who created human beings and the planets and the earth and us and everything in it. So we go to him as our Savior, as our Redeemer, and we talk to him and ask him to reveal to you what your plan is in life. And even for believers, whether you're here, you know, because of whatever reason, the fellowship or the word or whatever you're came tonight, if there's a purpose for your life that you're still seeking, seek it from the one that knows, okay, even better than what you know. So praise God for that. Amen. But let's start out with some prayers. We jump into God's word tonight. It's going to be good. Getting into the book of Revelation. Emily said she titled it Revelation 1 on Facebook, and so part 1. So if we're in this book for 60 weeks, it's gonna look a little odd, but it'll be all right. It's going to be good. I look forward to it. So as we get in, let's start with prayer. Father, we do lift our hearts and our minds and our hands, our entire being unto you, Father, right here, right now. And we say, God, teach us. Show us who you are. Show us something about you and your word. Reveal unto us something new, different. Confirm what you've already told us. Just speak to us through your word tonight, Lord. We know it is inspired by you, that it was written down by men of God as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, reveal, quicken, make alive something from your word tonight that we can grow, we can learn from it, and we can leave changed on the inside, Lord. And you'll continue that work that manifests itself in our outward words, our actions, the things we say and do every day. Father, we're praising you for it and thanking you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. 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 So, Book of Revelation. Are you guys ready? I'm very excited. So, every commentary that I have read on the Book of Revelation always starts out with some sort of a statement, something to the effect of, the Book of Revelation is clearly one of the most difficult books of the Bible to understand. Okay, and that's the way that they start out. And I found out, and I'll explain that in just a little bit. I was going to read you, I got an email just about an hour ago, or at least I opened it about an hour ago. And it's interesting because I've searched stuff on eschatology, the study of the end times. I've searched things on the Book of Revelation. Just, you know, Google searches or DuckDuckGo is a lot of what I use, or ChristianBook.com, Amazon, you know, you name it, all those different things. And I'm just seeing what's out there because I love study material, and so looking to see if there's some more things out there. Well, anyway, I got an email today from a company called BibleSoft, which I've used their software in the past, so I'm kind of on their list. Somehow they knew I was studying the Book of Revelation. Not sure how all that comes together. But here's what they had to say. It opens up, and it says, Eschatology and Bible Prophecy, the Fall Special. Okay, and you type in Prophecy 20, and you get 20% off discount, whatever. So here's what it said. It said, for the month of November, we are featuring products and resources on the subjects of eschatology and Bible prophecy. These are among the more difficult and controversial areas of scriptural study, and have continued to fascinate and challenge Christians for centuries. Okay, and then it goes on to tell you about the deal and the books. The deal is on a 34-volume set called Revelation. And it's 34 volumes. It's about this thick. And it's all these different guys that have written things on the Book of Revelation. I don't know if I'll get it or not. It's quite spendy. But It's just interesting that even they, in the beginning of here, they're going to try to sell you something on the book of Revelation, and they started out by saying, it's very difficult to understand eschatology. And if you've ever looked into end time scenarios, kind of in the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation are two that are intertwined, and even some of Matthew 24, some of the other chapters in the Bible, places that are talking about it, it can be a very complicated subject. And there's a good reason why many of these scholars, or in this case a Bible software company, why they say that it's a very difficult subject to understand. Okay, I am convinced that there are parts of the book of Revelation that are meant to be understood and immediately applied to your life. Okay, I taught out a book of Revelation this last Sunday, first, second, and third chapters, and preached a whole sermon on that, and it was stuff to apply right now to the church. The church needs to get right with God, right? We need to be living it out. We need to live our life. So that kind of stuff is in the book of Revelation. But I also think there is a large portion of the book of Revelation that is meant to be a mystery, okay? That is meant to be kind of still out there, still a little hard to understand or not really fully understood, okay? When a believer reaches a point in their walk with God, okay, and you're studying or in your Bible time or whatever, I think when a believer reaches the point where they think they have it all figured out, okay, whether it be even a book other than Revelation, but especially with end time stuff, if they get to the point where they think they have it all figured out, I think their heart is going to be hardening towards God at that point. Because at that point, God is no longer a sovereign deity. Okay, no longer knows something that I don't know. But at that point, when somebody gets to that point, they've reached the point where God is more of a finite being with a beginning and an end, and I got to the end and figured him out. Okay, and it takes away some of that deity of God if we really think that we completely have him figured out. Now, the Bible says in places that we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will quicken things and make them alive. It says that we can know the things that are freely given to us by God because of the Holy Spirit. So there is a revelation. There are things that we are going to know, but I don't know that I'll ever be God, right? Okay, I'm never going to know everything that God knows. And I think of that, obviously, if we have a goal of knowing God intimately, we want to know him as deeply as we possibly can. We know he knows us, right? Okay, but we want to know him intimately. I mean, very, very tight, close, to the point that his ways and his thoughts are kind of just intertwined with our being, that we're starting to respond to situations the way that God would want us to, or the way that God would respond. Jesus was this great example. We get to see that, and then holy men of God wrote and gave us examples in the Bible. It all goes together. Okay, but even in an intimate relationship, if you've ever been, you know, in a relationship close to somebody, married, or that best friends, or parent and child, those kind of relationships. Anybody been a parent or a child? Let me just start with that. Okay. Oh yeah, once in a while. Okay, so if you've been in that kind of a relationship, you know that even as intimate as you get, there will always be some things that that person does not fully know about you. I mean, they're going to know you. They're going to be able to finish your sentences. They're going to be able to predict how you're going to respond in a given situation. They're going to know what you would say about a topic. They're going to know you very well. But some of your motivations, some of your deep thoughts, you know, your closet, so to speak, or some of that stuff, you're only the only one that's going to know that. And I think that about, kind of turn that around, that God knows us intimately. But when we're trying to know him, there are things about him that are so deep, so divine, so big, so God, that we're going to struggle a little bit to comprehend what exactly is God, what did he mean by that? How can this be? And there's that element of mystery to it. Okay, the Bible talks about itself, the word of God being mysterious. And God, you know, you've heard, you know, God works in mysterious ways. I haven't quite found that in the Bible yet, but If God is mysterious in all of his ways, and I believe that in a lot of his ways he is, the book of Revelation is one of those things we're going to see that it has a mystery to it. And there are things that we will press into that you'll be like, what did he mean by this, Pastor? What does this mean in this? And I'll say, I don't know. Ask God when you get there, because that's what I'm going to do. Okay, because the book of Revelation has such deep things in it that it's going to be kind of like that. There's an overall message that God wants us to get from it, though. Otherwise, it wouldn't be included. We know that God wants us to get something. But I think there's still going to be some parts that are mysterious to us. People have tried, okay, and I tell you about looking up different scholars. I can get a 34-volume thing on Revelation. All these guys have something they think they have figured out, or they wouldn't have put it in that volume set. People have tried to put timelines on the events of Revelation and some of the things that happen in there. They even try to predict when and where, you know, this apocalyptic and prophetic events that are described in the book of Revelation, when and where it's going to come to pass. And they kind of outline that this is what it's going to look like. And, oh, Israel is, you know, this, and America is Babylon. And they start putting it all together, and they really naming it and put it together. But even though they have done that, even though people have kind of picked out certain things and drawn out their timelines, there is such a myriad of possible explanations, okay, a number of various interpretations, okay, and there's a whole lot of different scenarios that it still leaves us with no definite understanding. Okay, these are guys, and I looked up some of my favorites. What do they got to say? And then you find out that two of my favorites have two opposing views on when things are going to happen or how it looks. And these are guys that I have trusted for years and years and years. Then they go to a third one that I really like. Oh boy, he'll know what this is about. And he'll have a completely different point of view on the exact same topic. Okay, and that's what I have found. So after 25 years or more of reading and studying and trying to figure out the events of the book of Revelation, I still don't have it figured out, okay, is what I'm trying to say. And when we decided as a church last week that let's go through the book of Revelation in expository form, okay, we're going to take it line by line, verse by verse, and Pastor will break it down and tell us what this stuff means, I have to admit it actually stirred a little bit of anxiety for me. Because my first thought is, how in the world can I teach on the book of Revelation when I don't fully understand the book of Revelation? I don't fully understand everything that is in there. So I did what any normal pastor would do. I convinced myself that I will study more, okay? And I will figure it out so that I can teach it, okay? I'm going to dig in and break it down and get everything I possibly can, and we will know perfectly the book of Revelation. Well, some people, what I found is, like I just said, when I'm going to all these guys, and I mean, these are trusted authors and people that I've known and whatever else, and everybody's got a different opinion. And so even in my study Bible, okay, which I was teaching you guys, you know, if you want to learn to study, use a study Bible, look up stuff. In the back of my study Bible, it has a pretty good breakdown of end time events. It talks about all the different parts of, yeah. It's an old study Bible. But when you get to the book of Revelation, it has different things. It starts out with all the timelines, okay? But it's not the timeline. It's possible timelines. It gives numerous possible timelines. And then you get in and you're looking at, okay, then it's going to talk about the different views, because everybody's been to different churches. A lot of people grew up in different churches, especially non-denominational church. We didn't all grow up with the same theology when it comes to the rapture or the millennium or, you know, things like that. And so what they did, even in the study Bible, is it's called Dealing with Last Things, the Rapture, the Second Coming, and the Millennium. And then they give the premillennial pre-tribulation view, the premillennial post-tribulation view, the premillennial mid-tribulation view, you guys get the point? Because they couldn't come up with all these guys. This is spirit-filled. It's a spirit-filled Bible. Jack Hayford, some well-known guys that I've listened to for 30 years almost. They couldn't come up with one answer This is the way it really looks like the Bible says this. So I went to my son's Bible. He has a study Bible. It's a little different, a little more modern, has more information. And again, they came up with at least 2 to 3 different views. And then they say this study Bible kind of adheres with the pre, post, quad, this view. Okay? And they kind of say that when they're teaching, some of it will come from that perspective. However, in the margin will be the such and such view and the other view and this view and that view. Okay, and so even in the newer, more modern study Bibles, they haven't come up with one conclusion. So I'm telling you all that because some people will adamantly voice their opinion about some of the more controversial topics, the millennial, the rapture of the church, or the rapture of the wicked, or how many years things are, if it's 3.5 years, 7 years, if it's 1,000-year literal reign on earth, or how long is Satan going to be locked in his, you know, locked up, and that kind of stuff. Even though they're putting out their opinion, it became clear to me that a definite conclusion about many of the futuristic, kind of prophetic events, setting dates, drawing out timelines on when and how the events described in the book of Revelation are going to unfold, I have found that it is a sure way to establish nothing more than a man-made doctrine. Because I don't think anybody knows. And that's my conclusion, okay, right off the bat, is I don't know if we're supposed to know that right now. I think we will know it when it's time. But even the day and the hour, Jesus said even he didn't know that. That's up to my Father, he said. Okay, so there's some things that, you know, we think Jesus knows everything. Well, Jesus said he didn't know that. I'm not saying there's other things he doesn't know. He probably knows almost everything but that. But that was one thing that at least he said, that, you know, God's saving some stuff for the end. And probably, because mankind would screw it up. Okay, we'd probably mess it up somehow. My wife's shaking her head. I shouldn't use that word in church. Oh, never mind. Okay, I thought that was a bad word. But yeah. Right, we are going through man messing things up right now. So there is a lot of that that could happen. And the other part is, I don't know if you guys think this way or not, but when we vocalize something, not only does God hear it, not only does the Holy Spirit hear it, but the demons and devil hear it too. Okay, and so when we're speaking things out, a lot of times if we're saying, oh man, I sure hope my, you know, foot doesn't hurt tomorrow. Okay, or I know my foot's going to hurt tomorrow. Oh man, I got this big run tomorrow and I just know, oh, my foot's probably going to hurt tomorrow. And we start speaking that over ourselves. We're just putting it right out there and the devil says, oh, they're afraid their foot's going to hurt tomorrow. Let me see what we can do. Okay, and they start working on that to kind of bring things to pass. So I think again, if we know, okay, on the 27th of March in 2023, God's coming back. Okay, that the devil would go to work putting a plan together to thwart that somehow, to throw some deception in there. So, okay. We want to, what are we going to understand then if we're studying the book of Revelation? We are going to understand what God wants us to understand. Okay? Right. And we're going to leave up to God what is up to God. Amen. Okay? God is sovereign in my book. I don't have to know everything. I have to have everything figured out. Things can go a different direction than I thought it was supposed to, and I'm still okay with that. Because God is sovereign. I'm not saying that we don't have an influence, that we can't pray, we can't do things and help influence things, but there are things that I just want to trust God and say, God, you take this one, okay, because it's yours and you created it, you can help through it. And if you want me to do something, speak to me and I'll jump in a heartbeat. Okay, but I think that we'll study it, and you're going to find that the book of Revelation was a writing that was given to the church of Jesus Christ by Jesus Christ to strengthen our faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, it is powerful. And when we get through it end to end kind of thing, it is a powerful draw you into faith in Christ. It's intended to strengthen our resolve, to help us to stand in loyalty to Jesus, okay, to stand up for what's right, but mainly, even more than what's right, just to stand next to Jesus. That's what it's calling us to. And it ultimately is to inspire us to be overcomers, okay, to remain faithful unto the end, no matter what comes, even if it means martyrdom. Okay, and that's the call of Revelation. It's Jesus, you know, saying, he said to the churches, you don't want to be lukewarm, you need to get right. okay, get hot for God kind of thing, because he wants us to be ready to go through what we need to go through. Okay, and that includes whether it's the final last days and God pouring out wrath, or it's just going through an election cycle or whatever it is. I think God wants us to be overcomers. Be ready, willing, and able to stand with Jesus and just go through it. That's why all the stuff that's going on, I've had peace today. I just went about my day. Okay, because God's still in charge. That's all I got to know. My job, my role in the kingdom of God has not changed one tiny bit. It's still to lead people to Jesus, teach them about him, and send them out. Okay, let's do that. Let's spread the gospel to people in our community and keep that as our goal. Okay, that much, okay, that we are overcomers, we're to stand with Jesus, that much at a minimum is what we're going to get out of this book. By the end of it, we will be stronger in our connection with Christ. We are definitely going to understand the terminology better. We're going to understand some of the language. We'll do a lot of Greek studying because I like the Greek and kind of helps break it down. For me, all that is giving ammo to the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's like giving him a little bit more that, yes, now I understand what that really means. Now the Holy Spirit can use that quick and it makes something jump out at me even more than before. So it's not, you know, our just head knowledge isn't going to get it done, but when we have stuff that the Holy Spirit can work with, I would say he's got your number. He knows how to get a hold of you. Okay, so even if you don't know the Greek, he can still get a hold of you. But when you know that, he's got you on speed dial. That's the way I look at it. He just knows that you're listening. Okay, so let's dive into it just a little bit. I want to read just the first three verses in Revelation. Now, it's not very far for the first week, but we're really not even going to get that far. We're still on the intro. So, okay, we're going to back up next week and go through these verses again. But Revelation chapter 1 starts out by saying, and I got the King James Version up there if you want to read it. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Okay, John kind of lived with, kind of telling you who the author is if you didn't already know that. But John lived with kind of a sense of urgency that the Lord could come back at any moment, okay, or soon. Okay, he knew that there was things that had to be kind of in play and that things were going to happen. But when he's getting this revelation, he's thinking, whew, the Lord's just showing me what's about to happen. Okay, and he said, so that time is at hand. It's not a bad way to live, to constantly be on the idea that Jesus is preparing things and getting things ready. I need to be ready because this day is coming soon, okay, the day of the Lord. But one of the reasons that the book of Revelation is so often misunderstood and found difficult to ascertain is because it's three things in one, okay? It is not just the letter to the, you know, the epistle to the Ephesians or something. It's three things all kind of in one. It is an apocalypse, and I'll explain that. It is a prophecy, and it's a compilation of seven letters to the church. Okay, and it's all those at the same time. Okay, that's what made it confusing. If it was just the first three chapters sent out to the churches of, you know, in Asia, Southern Asia, he sent out seven letters to seven churches and go give these, you know, to all these seven churches, and it ended right there, we could grasp that. It's just a letter to the churches. Okay, but then it shifts gears and the angels speak and all these things, and it starts getting into this kind of a tumultuous, very vivid, sometimes violent descriptions of things that are happening or going to happen, and then it becomes this prophecy. Okay, I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself. Let's do this. It starts out, the book does, by plainly saying that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, so who did it come from?
John.
Jesus. Yeah, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation in the Greek is the word apocalypsis, okay, which is, of course, where we get the word apocalypse. Okay, so when I say that it is an apocalypse, It is a revelation. Okay, it is something being revealed. Right? Well, that apocalypse in the Greek, apocalypsis, it comes from a root word called apocalypto, which means disclosure by taking off the cover. Okay? Something is disclosed by taking off the cover. So take the cover off, and now I see inside, when you take the cover off, something is disclosed to me. More meaning just happened, because now I see there's all these pages, and they all have words, and every one of those words means something or has a purpose. So now, by taking the cover off, I realize that there's so much more behind what I didn't, you know, that I didn't know before. Okay, that's one example. Or another would be if you're cooking a pot of stew, right? And it has a lid on it, and the lid's kind of vibrating because it's steaming inside, you know what I'm talking about? And it's kind of chinging, 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 and you go up and you take the cover off of the stew, and you look down in there, and now you see the surface of the stew. But if you take a spoon and you dip it in there and you start stirring it in, you know how you pull the spoon up towards the top and you see the carrots, you see the meat, you see the stuff that's in there? Now you realize that there was a whole lot more to the pot. Now you're getting to see some of the actual ingredients, and you're going to get a sense of what it's going to taste like. Okay? If it has no carrots and you like carrots, you're like, oh, it doesn't have carrots. You know that now because you took the cover off. Okay, but if you don't take the cover off, you never get to see deeper in there. You never get to start experiencing more of what's actually behind that. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, as it said in verse 1, the very first few words, simply means that Jesus took the cover off of something so that we would know and see and dig deeper into it. Okay, something that we didn't know before. This was kind of newer information. This whole stuff, I mean, yes, Daniel wrote some, and there's some other kind of allusions to it, or allure, I don't know what that word is, but other people referred to it, kind of stuff in the Bible, but it really wasn't as described in so much detail and given so much information as we get in the book of Revelation. So now we know that there's something deeper. Okay, when it starts out with, this is an apocalypse of Jesus Christ. This is something, he took the cover off so that you and me could see it. So we know right off the bat, this is going to be good stuff. What he revealed was the prophecy. That's that second part. Okay, so it's an apocalypse, and it's a prophecy, and it's a letter. Okay, it's a prophecy in the sense that it's a prophecy. Okay, so you could think of the book of Revelation like this. It is an apocalypse because of the nature of its content. It is revealing something. It is a prophecy because of the message. Okay, something futuristic, something we need to know, a word from God. It said it was from Jesus. It's coming right to us. And then it's a letter in the sense that it has addressees. Okay, because it says to the church. Okay, and that's where he's writing so that we know the stuff to the servants. It reveals and exposes to us something that was previously hidden. It is prophetic in the sense that it contains a tremendous amount of futuristic events, things that haven't happened yet. Some have, some haven't. Okay, futuristic events, and it describes with some detail, okay, although I call it allegorical detail. Okay, it's a lot of really good detail, but whew, what does it mean kind of detail? Because it's allegorical, it's symbolic, it's got this, you know, an air to it that makes it so that it's not just cut and dried, you know. It's 2 years and then this happens and then this happens. It's allegorical in detail. And it tells what those events will actually look like eventually. Okay, there's more of that prophecy that is kind of, some of it is futuristic, but it's a word that God wants us to know. And then it's a letter, because it's a letter to the people of God, the faithful Christian churchgoers. Okay, because he was writing to the church over here and to the church over there. That's how it starts out. So that idea is that it's a letter to us. So it's personal, in other words. Okay, it's a personal letter to us. Revelation contains a whole message of biblical redemption in one book. If you start looking at it, it talks about and gives kind of the role of the unblemished Lamb of God and how he was slain to take away the sin of the whole world. That's kind of in there. But it also gives the wrath of the Lamb. Okay, the one that's coming to root the world of evil, get rid of it all, and consummate the end. That is all in there as well. Okay, it's the wrathful Lamb who's coming to judge the whole world and to purge it of evil once and for all. Okay, he's going to get the job done. Revelation points out the evil enemy of the saints. Okay, and this is in there as well. And he describes them as the dragon, okay, also known as Satan. Okay, it describes the Antichrist. Okay, it kind of puts him in with, some people would call him the beast of the sea. It talks about the false prophet, which is the beast of the earth. And then it describes Babylon the Great, okay, which is the center of satanic deception and world power. Okay, it's like where all this evil's coming from. Okay, the Great Babylon. That's the root, core, center of where all this deception and world power is coming from. The revelation then was supernaturally communicated to John, okay, through the exalted Christ, through angels, and through personal visions. Okay, now we did a series on dreams not too long ago, dreams and visions. God gives them to us, and in the last days, God will give old men will dreams, young men will have visions, the other way around. I figure I'm both still, because I have dreams and visions. Okay, so it was revealed supernaturally to John in three different ways. Okay, some of the difficulty that you come into when you're trying to understand the book of Revelation, it happens when people try to read it like it's a book. Okay, they start in the beginning of Revelation and start reading. And like I said, if it ended in three chapters, we'd be okay, but it doesn't. And so you read, and then it keeps going, and you get to all the way to the end, and it's great. Jesus is on the throne, and things are great. And so we read it like a book, like there's a beginning and an end, and everything in between is just leading up to that end. But it doesn't work that way. Okay, Revelation is not written like that book form, like we tend to think of in our brains. Okay, it helps if you understand that what we're reading is a series of visions, numerous conversations that were written when they were received, and one vision may have revealed something that happened before the previous vision. Okay, let's see if I can explain this to you. This helped me so much to understand the book of Revelation. If you talk about dreams, okay, so let's say we have a dream. Let's say we have a bunch of dreams over the course of 18 months. That's about how long they figure John was on the island of Patmos. So while he's on the island, he has all these different dreams and visions. He has encounters with angels. He has conversation with Jesus, the Son of God, who tells him what some of the stuff is. And he's writing stuff down. Okay, well, if we have dreams, let's say we have a dream, and one day we dream that we are working in a factory. Great, we're working in a factory. A month later, we have another dream, and in this dream, we are a child back in our hometown, and our dad is teaching us to work hard. Kind of related to the first dream, because it has a little bit to do with work, and it's still me, so it must be intertwined, but I was a child in the second one, an adult in the first one. But then you have a third dream, and in the third dream, you're working someplace completely different. So now you've got three dreams that if you just try to put them down on a piece of paper, that first I'm working in a factory, and then I'm a child, and then I'm working over here. Okay, it doesn't make much sense unless you realize that they were just three dreams that somebody got, and they just wrote them down in the order that they got them, not in chronological order. Okay, chronological would be it happens year by year by year, you know. Okay, so when I was a kid, my dad taught me to work hard, then I got a job in a factory, then I got a job at the car plant. You know, that would make more sense, right? Revelation isn't written that way. It's written as these dreams and visions. Then I heard the voice of the angel say, and he writes it down. Okay, and then I've had a vision, and on the island of Patmos, I had a vision, and he wrote it down. And then he has this, and he gets a revelation, has a conversation with Jesus, and he writes it down. And so it's all kind of like, wow, it's related. I know it's related because I can kind of, but it's not coming together because it's not in chronological order. Okay, so if you try to read it like it's all supposed to be in order, and then this happens, and then this happens, you'll be like, wait a minute, what happened to, because it doesn't read that way. You guys following me? Okay, that'll help you to understand the book of Revelation. See how far I skipped myself here. So John had a series of revelations and dreams and conversations and angel encounters, these things that he has. And they are conversations, whatever he had, while he was on the island of Patmos. And he didn't put them in chronological order when he wrote them down. So what we get is not an orderly compilation of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it starts out as. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. But we don't get this orderly fashion, you know, here's exactly what that is. We get a compilation of visions and dreams and conversations, and we have to sort of put them together to kind of get the big picture. Because God wants us to get something out of us. He wants us to see Jesus, to be stronger with Jesus, to walk stronger in faith and be an overcomer. He wants us to get that out of it, so we kind of have to put it together. And that's where some of those kind of timeline guys come in, and they say, well, this chapter was before this one, and they kind of put it together. And so we might look at some of that. I'm not against trying to do that if it helps us to understand it a little bit better. Okay, so we'll see where we get with that. But before we get too much more into the verses, I gotta finish this up. You guys up for a long night or a short night? I thought it was gonna be a short night, but before we get too much deeper into the verses, I want to back up just a little bit. Okay, look at some of the facts surrounding the book of Revelation. What do we really know about it already? Okay, what do we know about the author? Who's the author? John, right? So we know his name at least. Okay, what do we know about the Isle of Patmos? What do we know about why John was exiled to the island of Patmos? Okay, what do we know about the time that Revelation was written in relation to the other books of the Bible? Okay, what do we know about some of these more factual things? The door squeaking in the background, it sounds like a rocking chair on the porch, you know. Somebody is eagerly awaiting election results. That's what I heard right there. kind of funny. Okay. So let's answer a couple of these questions. Let's start with the when question. Okay. Here's a trick question for you. What was the last book of the Bible written? What book was the last one written in out of the whole Bible? I started out. I said it was a trick question, so now you're really not wanting to say Revelation. It is the book of Revelation. Okay. It was written, and they figure, let me give you the dates here. They figure AD 94 to 96. Okay. AD 94 to 96. That's when Revelation was written. It was the last book. I tried several different ways to look up times on different books of the Bible, and they all came out the same way. Revelation was the last one written. John was thought to have been born in AD 6, which would make him about 88 to 90 years old. Okay, they thought he was, and we'll get into this more next week, but he was exiled in the later years of his life. Some people think he died on the island of Patmos of fairly natural causes. But we'll get into that more next week. In contrast, does anybody know what the first book of the Bible was written? Genesis would be a common answer. It is Job. In fact, let's see if I got that here. Well, yes, I'll just say that. Job was the first book of the Bible written, and it was about 1445 B.C. or earlier. They say nobody really knows, but they know it was written before any of the other ones. And the next one, Genesis, was 1445 B.C. So they figure 1445 or earlier is when the book of Job was written. So how about New Testament books? Let me see where you're at on this. Does anybody know what the first New Testament book that was written was? Chronological year order. Lots of guesses. It kind of boggles your mind here. James, the Lord's brother, was the first one to write a book, and it was 44 to 49 AD. And most of the other ones followed not too long after that. But 44 to 49 was James. Galatians was second, 49 to 50. Then Mark and Matthew, they kind of tied at 50 to 60. And then 1 Thessalonians 51, 2 Thessalonians 52. I don't want to give them all to you, but somebody mentioned Luke. You know, I thought, well, Luke and Acts, you know, he wrote both, so they probably go together, and they do. Luke was 60 and 61, and Acts was 62. Basically, they all just kind of flowed together. I thought it was interesting, some of the ones that Paul wrote like a second letter, like, so like 1 Timothy was 62 to 64, and then 2 Timothy was 66 to 67, so he had a couple years in between letters. Okay, probably took that long to get it across the continent or whatever. But then we get to our guy that wrote Revelation, right? He wrote the book of John in 80 to 90. 1 John was 90 to 95, 2 John 90 to 95, and 3 John 90 to 95. So most of those are pretty well written in succession right in there. And then Revelation was written 94 to 96, so probably right about that same time. John was probably getting old, started thinking, I got to get this word out. I got to get some of this stuff written down. And so he started writing out things. That's why his gospel is a little bit different, a little more wordy, you know, a little different than some of the other ones. But then eventually he got to the book of Revelation, and that one he got and figured wrote while he was on the island of Patmos, which was about 50 miles away from Ephesus. Okay, so it was on an island. We'll get maybe into that more. Hey, in if Jesus died in about what year? He was what, 33 and a half, we figure? So about what year would that be? 33 and a half. 34, right around in there. Okay, so if Jesus died in 34, then John wrote the book of Revelation about 60 years after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. Okay, it's a long time later. How do we know that it was John that wrote the book of Revelation? Because four different times in the book, John refers to himself. We'd read this one, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Okay, and so John says, he sent it to me. He wrote it to me. It's also in verse 4, says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Okay, he's revealing what the Lord said. 1:9 again. I don't have mine open to that. And then 22 verse 8 is another one. We'll get to these eventually. But John just says, I, John, say. And so he was saying that it was he that wrote it. John was one of those guys that was so well known to his readers, okay, the people that were going to be reading his letters. He was so known for his spiritual authority in that area that he didn't even need to establish his credentials. Like the Apostle Paul, in the beginning of a lot of his letters, he's kind of defensive, defends why he gets to be an apostle, even though he used to persecute Christians, and then he gets to start defending, and I get to use this harsh language with you because I'm an apostle. Because Jesus made me an apostle. And so Paul kind of comes across as always defending and trying to state why he gets to say this stuff. And yet you get John and he just says, I, John, say. You know, he just writes it because people knew who John was. Okay, that's one thing about John I like. Early church tradition unanimously attributes the book of Revelation to John. There was a Bible scholar, a historian named Irenaeus. He verified that his mentor and tutor, a guy named Polycarp, studied under John the Apostle, and Polycarp told Irenaeus, which got passed down then for generations, Polycarp told Irenaeus that the book of Revelation was written by John near the end of the Emperor Domitian's reign. Okay, so that's how they figured out the date. Because the end of the emperor of Rome, his name was Domitian, okay, he reigned from 81 to 96. So if John was on the island of Patmos for the last 18 years of his life, it was probably you know, 94 and a half to 96, somewhere in there. And that's why they figure this book was written in 94 to 96. Okay, some of the historical circumstances, the things described in the book of Revelation, line up with that end of Domitian's reign. He had gotten to the point, Domitian was very puffed up, proud, got to the point where he demanded that his subjects call him Lord and God. Okay, you will refer to me as Lord and God. Okay, which created this confrontation between those that were willing to worship the emperor and the Christians who said only Jesus is Lord and God. And so there became this stuff. So when he is getting the revelation, did I bring that in here? Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he signified it by his angel. I must have had it in a different verse, but anyway, he did it because of his testimony. Okay, that's why he was on the island of Patmos. Okay, and so that meaning he would not worship emperor. He would not worship the emperor like the rest of them, Domitian. Okay, so John was exiled probably because of that, or in part of that, and his testimony of Jesus Christ, which, when you read the rest of the book of Revelation, you're going to see that your testimony of Jesus Christ is the whole basis for why the book is written, because it's strengthening your testimony in Jesus Christ so that you'll be willing to stand like John stood to get sent to the island of Patmos to write the book of Revelation. Okay, so God revealed things to him because he was willing to go through it no matter what. I'm gonna stand with Jesus. And so God reveals things through his angels and personally to John and says, write these things to the churches and the people so that they'll know what's coming. Okay, and began to prepare us. So that is kind of the major theme of the book of Revelation, and that's the basis for a major part of the book. Okay. So I think I'm gonna end with that for now. Next week I want to get into a little bit more about John. Just because he is the author, I think we ought to spend some time looking at why did God speak to this guy, and what was unique about him. So we're going to press into that, and maybe a little bit more about why he ended up on Patmos and how some of this stuff began to come to pass. So we'll get into that next week and actually read a few more verses. So. Amen? Amen. We can pray as we close out tonight too. Father God, we do just pray, Father, give us revelation, Father, understanding of you, Lord, that apocalyptic understanding, something that is like a cover being taken off so we can really see you, we can really understand you, that we can grow in our faith, Lord. It's really about you and our relationship with you, so we pray that that is truly built during this time as we study your word. And Father, as we now go forth, Lord, with a little different understanding, a little more understanding of how you even wrote this particular portion of your scripture for us, Father, and how it comes together, that we can then be more confident in sharing and talking to others because of what you're speaking to and through us, Father. We're trusting you for this. Thank you for health in our bodies, healing, good night's rest. Thank you for calming nerves, calming hearts and minds, Father, keeping us at peace and keeping us focused on you as our Christ, as our Savior, our Redeemer, the one that bought us and purchased us with your very own blood. Father, we praise you for it and thank you in Jesus' name. We say, amen.